We're just standing here, not gonna lie. Maybe that's a good
thing. Maybe don't talk.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. Our pastor is out of town on a walk to Emmaus. Cody Brotherton is also on this walk to Emmaus. We were kind of short-handed, so we just thought, hey, let's do a youth Sunday. So let's give it up for the youth and thank the Lord for them. I want to welcome those who are worshiping with us online. Also, if you're visiting with us this morning, we'd love to have a record of your visit. You can fill out a guest registration card that's in the chair pocket in front of you. Also, you can scan the QR code, and that'll take you to an online registration form. And our pastor usually meets our guest out by the main entrance after the service. And him not being here, I'm the guy. If you don't mind meeting with me, I'd love to meet with you. But anyway, I'll be outside by the main entrance after the service. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about something, been kind of convicted of something over the last 8 or 9 months. You know, we segregate our churches by age, which is something it's we need to do in order to carry out discipleship. I mean, we have children's ministry and youth ministry and college ministry and adult ministry. You know, it wouldn't make sense for me to go to a third grade Sunday school class. Well, I may learn something, but, you know, I would be the biggest guy in the room, almost certain, and you wouldn't send a third grader to an adult class, so we need to do those things. But something that I've heard a number of times through the years is that our children and youth are the future of the church, which that's true. God's going to raise up leadership out of these generations, but you know what? They're the church today. They're part of the church today, and the youth have callings and giftings on their life, and you know, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of adults lives inside of youth. Did you know that? It's not a watered-down version of the Holy Spirit. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There's not a junior version of the Holy Spirit that God gives children. You know, we all have the same Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we want to allow God to be glorified through their giftedness. Can we do that? All right. And after I'm done, everything else is going to be taken care of by the youth. And thank you guys so much for your service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you for these youth that have said yes to you. Jesus, you live inside their hearts, and I thank you, God, for their desire, their willingness to share their giftedness with us this morning. God, I pray that every aspect of this service brings glory and honor to you. And Father, would you meet us right where we are? You're so good at doing that. And Father, would you surprise us today with how good you actually are? Father, we need you in our midst, God, to reveal yourself to us. And we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Good morning. Join with us in worship.
who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King of all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Good morning, church. As Billy has already said, this is a Youth Sunday. And first and foremost, I do want to thank everybody that is a youth that is helping out with this. But in particular, we have quite a few that are skill casing talents and skills today. And a lot of them are up here. We have some awesome vocalists, which you're going to hear from individually a little later as they all sing different parts of songs. Taylor has been on keyboard for a long time, taken lessons, and I wish that I had taken lessons when I listened to her. But then also I wanted to point out two others that are behind me. And so we have Ella Beatty and we have Emily Varela, and both of them have both picked up their instruments this year. In fact, like, this is probably close to the end of month 2 that they've been playing. And so they were willing to give their skill sets. They were willing to give their opportunity to be a part, to be included in worship this morning. And so we're grateful for that. You'll get to hear from others as well, as we have people, like Billy said, leading everything. But we're going to continue in worship. Seated, and with the children, come forward.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Okay, I think that's everybody. Hey, friends. Okay. So, I have this rope that I cannot seem to untie. So can you guys try to help me and pull on it and try to untie it? Can I get like two or three of you guys to raise your hands? Okay, we have a group. Okay, Slay, you look really interested, so I'm gonna give that to you, sir. Yep, can you pull it as hard as you can? Oh my, okay. There you go, bud, good job. It's okay, you can let go of it. Okay, who else wants to pull the rope? I'm gonna give it to you. Pull as hard as you can. Yay, okay, thank you. Okay, Reagan, do you want to grab it? Yay! Okay, that's all I'm going to do. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so it seems like none of us can untie this rope, and it kind of reminds me of Jesus' love and us. So if we read Romans 8, 35, 38 through 39, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." So maybe if you imagine that this rope is you and these two strings are you and like your life, then this knot is Jesus holding you together. So when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, he made it possible for us to be joined forever. So this is your life, and this is God's love. And so hard times and trouble may be like pulling at us from other sides of the world. As you can see, pulling on it just made the knot tighter. Like the more trouble and like stress and all of these things that we go through in life, the more that that pulls on us, we get closer to God. So how about you guys name some hard times that you're going through? If you want to raise your hand. What do you have, Ivy?
There's a fire.
There was a fire? No. There's what? That's your cousin? That's crazy. Do you have a hard time? That's your hard time? Aw. What does she do? And that one? There's a fire? That's crazy. Do you guys have any hard times? Oh no, poor girl. What are your hard times? Yeah, I totally understand that because my brother's a senior this year, so this is the last year that I have with my brother. So it's a very sad time, but you get to treasure the time that you have, and he's going to do such amazing things with his life. What do you have, sir? Oh, no! I think that's just her loving you. Okay, so let's read our Bible verse one more time. So, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I think that that is just very comforting, and it makes me feel a lot better about the hard times that we go through. Because it means that we don't have to worry or be afraid in hard times because we can always rely on God's love that will draw near to us. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for never letting go of us. Thank you for being with us in every hard time we face. Thank you for a love so strong that nothing can tug away from us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, friends.
Good morning. Could you all stand with me as we say the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So if you've noticed, all of us up here, the majority of us, we're wearing these shirts that says, Find Your People. And so each year in our youth group, we do a theme for the year. And this year, the theme is Find Your People. But we have reason behind that. So mainly our reason this year is finding your people is a really big part of high school. It's really easy to fall into the wrong crowd, find the wrong people, or find the right people who should be your people. And we have learned through these years, and what we're going to learn about mainly this year, is allowing God to help us find our people and finding people who will help us build our relationship with God. There's a lot of people in our lives who will tear you away from God, pull you away from that, be bad influences, but you can't let that be your people. You need to find your people. And even though we're just high schoolers, this can affect us for the rest of our lives. And this even goes into adulthood. Some adults haven't found their people yet, but it's not too late. Everyone has a chance to find your people. And today we're going to pray about that. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, I pray for everybody in this room, those who are struggling to find their people, those who already have their people. I pray that we're good influences on the people around us, and I pray that we find people to be good influences on us. I pray that we build up the strength to take bad people out of our lives, however difficult it may be. And I pray that you help us through any situation we find ourselves in. I pray that we find our people this year, God, no matter what our age is, no matter where we are in life. I pray that you help us find your people, and you help us grow closer to you by doing that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll stand with us for worship.
As we move into this time of worship, as you can see on the screen above, we do still have an opportunity for y'all to give this morning. Thank y'all for being the church that y'all are with your gracious giving. You can either download the app and do it there, you can text any amount to that number, or we have boxes at both doors that you are welcome to drop your offerings in as you leave today.
Pour out our praise, it's your breath.
let's sing that one more time, but let's let the voices of this congregation fill the room. The instruments are going to stop, but let's sing that one more time. Let's make sure that our hearts are in the right place to hear God's word this morning. Seated.
Hello, everyone. So, as it was mentioned earlier, this Youth Sunday was not planned out way in months advance, but we realized Jeff and Cody were gone, and so it was Youth Sunday now. And so we are blessed, this church is blessed, with a youth group that is just full of servant hearts. They really are. Yeah. They are an amazing group of kids. I think you can see that from their worship, from them greeting you at the doors. I hope you feel the love that this youth group has for this church. And one servant heart stepped up very boldly and very bravely and said that he would give the message today with not a lot of heads up, which is amazing. So Josh coming up. Josh has an amazing, wonderful sermon to give to y'all today.
All right, as Shauna was saying, I'm Josh Corgan. I'm a sophomore at Wiley High School. And I know I was telling the earlier service that I know y'all aren't used to having a pastor with hair. but this morning, we're going to make it happen. So, I'm going to talk to y'all about how our world is really, 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 really crazy. And how we can best deal with that as Christians. And I think this topic is very interesting, especially coming from the perspective of youth. Because as Taylor was saying during prayer time, a lot of times, especially in our high schools, there's a lot of bad influence, issues with like bad influence and kids getting into things earlier than they should. And that, I feel like, not only just in our high schools, but that's also a big thing for the rest of our society today. So I think it's very important to talk about this because even though it's not always something we want to talk about, we do need to recognize how pivotal it is to the message of the gospel. After all, while it is not something to sin is not something to be positive or something to be proud of like other messages of the Bible and Gospels, they would not be the same without it. After all, if we were perfect, there is nothing to be saved from. In fact, sin is important to the gospel because everyone is dead in their sins without Jesus. So turn to me to Romans chapter 3 as we read about how sin affects us all. Okay, Romans 3, verse 10. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, the law, we became conscious of our sin. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ, to whom we all believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that last verse is where we really get today's message, is just talking about how no one is perfect and everyone sins, and without Jesus, we fall short of the glory of God. In fact, we can see many examples of this sin in today's world. I know we've a lot of us probably are familiar with the Sparkle Creed that Jeff has played for us one time. And that was a good example of that. But also we have famous music artists like Doja Cat, Sam Smith, and Lil Nas X releasing music videos that include vulgar and satanic language and even include satanic worship and imply an intimate relationship with the devil, not only in their songs but also in a lot of their music videos that they're producing. And also a lot of times they've been doing this on the music award shows. So when they go to get their music awards, they do that kind of evil and sin. So, but we also see that this can this sort of is a mainstreaming of sin by our society, and it sends two main messages about religion to the public. First, religion is full of bigotry and is something to be mocked. And second, self-fulfillment and sin should be encouraged because you are doing you and earning or owning your truth. And that's just really, but so because of this, we cannot be ignorant to acknowledge the fact that this is affecting our church and our communities, especially once again as a youth. I can attest that in my high school, sin is more encouraged than ever before. But this poses one important question. How do we as Christians approach sin and evil in the world? And what is the best way to prevent it in ourselves and others? So first, a Christian should not flirt with sin. After all, in a world full of sin, and it's a very crazy world indeed, it is easy for it to rub off on us and for us to fall into sin. And oftentimes we do this by first getting stuck in a cycle of habitual sin with the world. And I mean, we've all been there. It's easy for us to just give in to our desire and get into a habit of sinning. Where we do it without even thinking, and we do it even when we don't want to, but we still just do it because it's a habit. It's become a habit. And we can see this in a lot of things today. Like we can see this in addictions to drugs or gambling or even alcoholism, that there's a lot of people that struggle with these issues, and they fall into this this cycle of habitual sin. And what we can see is that's not good for us, and that's not good for the people around us. In fact, we can see this in Jeremiah 9, verse 3. They make their tongue, they make ready their tongue like a bow to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they triumph in the land. They go from one sin to another. They do not acknowledge me, declares the Lord. And so we can see that this is talking about how we are all broken, and a lot of times we can get stuck in this cycle of habitual sin. But we can overcome it by focusing ourselves on Jesus and repenting. So we can see this with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us. We also see this, that how we can recognize that God renews and transforms us, and that's Romans 6:17. But a big thing that I wanted to point out in this sermon, a big scripture that I think really emphasizes how we can best address this is Genesis 39. And in this chapter, Joseph, after being sold to his brothers into slavery, is bought by Potiphar, and is found in his favor, and he is put in charge of his household and his belongings. And while he's there, Because the reason that this happens is because Potiphar is a very high-ranking official in the Pharaoh's guard. And so he's a very and the Pharaoh's guard is a very important thing in Egyptian culture. After all, that they viewed the Pharaoh as like a god or a figure sent from God. So Potiphar was in a very powerful position. And so Potiphar puts Joseph in his favor and puts him in charge of his house and his belongings while he's away for whatever reason, for business or whatever. But Potiphar's wife soon invites Joseph to go to bed with her. But then he denounces the offer, saying he would never do that to God or his master. But soon she does this again. But this time there's a difference. So before, the first time, there were several other servants around the house that were keeping him accountable. But we can see that this time there was no one around. So therefore, the temptation rises. There's no one to keep him accountable, and his integrity is tested. But this time, because of this, Joseph realizes this, and he immediately rejects the temptation and gets out of the house as soon as possible, even leaving his cloak. So we can learn from this. It is hard sometimes for you to own up to your sin and tell the truth or resist temptation. I'm sorry. Especially when you see everyone else around you doing it. But most of the time, simply removing yourself from whatever is doing the temptation in the first place is how to best prevent it. But another second big thing I want to emphasize is a lot of times we can kind of flirt with sin by adopting the attitude of if I'm baptized, I'm good, or this idea that baptism is some sort of ticket to heaven. In fact, I've heard this a lot as I've even heard kids excuse that they are drinking, doing drugs, and having premarital relations, and it's okay because I'm baptized so I can do whatever I want. I'm baptized and repent every day, so it's okay. I'm just fulfilling myself and having fun, but God will always forgive me. But, I mean, that really makes me sad because they've been misled to believe that about baptism, and so they truthfully think it's okay. But what we can see is that when we look at baptism, what baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment. And a lot of times, since they have this, they've been misled about baptism, they really don't have an inward commitment that is evident in their lives. Even though they may make that and believe it, because they've been misled, some of us have been misled, then it's easy for us to fall into that. But the Bible is very clear on this. 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. There is no one in him. There is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us or forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Another example of this, just real quick, is John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I just kind of, the way that I view this kind of attitude is that this ticket to heaven of baptism idea is that God loves you despite your sin and not for your sin. And God's forgiveness is grace from your sin and is not an excuse to sin. And as Jeff would say, is this song? I don't think Jeff's gonna like me very much after this sermon. And once again, I'm not necessarily saying by this that repentance isn't enough for you to be saved, or that you are expected never to sin, or that if you sin, like you're in, like you, there's no way of getting out of it. What I am saying is that sin is not. Should not be your goal, and it's not something to be proud of. And even though God does forgive you for your sin, it's not something to own or to be proud of or to once again make it your goal to perform or enjoy. But second, a big way that we can need to view this world is by not expecting perfection. And we cannot expect perfection in two main ways. First, don't expect perfection from yourself. And like I said, once again, my first point, you know, sometimes it might be misconstrued to say that, you know, it's not okay to sin. But it is not okay to sin, but God will forgive you of that sin. It's rather just that you should not be proud of your sin. And so we need to recognize that and expect us to mess up, because we always will mess up. Because if we're expecting perfection from ourselves, then we're oftentimes going to get disappointed in ourselves and in our faith and get this attitude that God is mad at us and doesn't love us. But the truth is that he does still love you despite your sin. He's not proud of you for sinning. But if you repent and turn your eyes back to him in your life, then he will forgive you. A big scripture on this is Romans 7:18-20. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So once again, if we expect perfection in ourselves, we are bound to be disappointed. And while guilt and while and we are bound to feel guilty. And while guilt does not lead us to repentance, it is not guilt is not the main idea of repentance. In fact, we should not view repentance as not feeling guilty of a sin, but rather asking for grace from the sin and freedom from guilt as we turn our focus back on to God. But so we should all a big point on this is that we should feel joy in our salvation, and that's Romans 17 or 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And another big thing that we need to realize is not only should we not expect perfection from ourselves, but we should also not expect perfection from others. After all, if we are bound to be disappointed from ourselves, we are also bound to be disappointed from others when they are imperfect or they fall into sin. So we should choose to forgive ourselves and others and love others despite their sin, just as God does. This is Luke 6:37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And as I was saying, there is a lot of imperfection and sin in the world. But a lot, and it's easy to get angry at this and denounce this. And while we should be working against it, if we get super angry and we try and we become hateful, then the arguments against us saying that religion is hateful become true, and Jesus' message of salvation for all becomes null and void. But another big reason that we should, or another big way in which we can deal with sin and evil in our world is not fearing temptation or sin in our crazy world, but we should work against it with love and communicate in love to try to prevent it and make it better. After all, once again, the world is full of sadness, anger, hate, division, evil, and sin, and we are just living in it. And so, and to see this, we can look to at 1 John 4:16-18. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. But another big thing that we can do is break free from the chaos and sin of the surrounding world, and instead love like Christ and stay free of him. A big good verse for this is Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Later in the chapter, Paul continues and said, those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking and envying each other. And a big thing with this point about being joyful in your salvation is Jeff actually kind of gave a very similar sermon on that specifically last week, and he brought up something very important or very interesting last week that I decided to add because it is very similar, or my third point is very similar to his sermon last week, but it really spoke to me last week, so I decided to add it in, and it was the hymn "It Is Well." If y'all were here last week, y'all remember Jeff talking about this, and it's really powerful because the guy who wrote it, Horatio Spafford, he and his family were going to go on a trip across the Atlantic to go to Europe, but he had business because he was a lawyer, a big lawyer in Chicago, and so he had business, so he was going to follow on the next ship a few days later after his wife and children left on the ship, but he was going to meet them there, unfortunately the boat that his family was on suffered a shipwreck and sank, and his wife was survived, but all four of his daughters did not, and so he decided to go on a trip on a ship once again to go see where his family had died. He writes, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He continues in the second verse, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. And I think the biggest thing about that that was really spoke to me was that, I mean, just imagine this guy. I mean, his whole family just died, pretty much. All of his daughters just died, except for his wife. And he's standing there on the deck of this ship looking down at the water where his family's bodies are. And all he has to say is, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." So he's looking down at the ocean, and he's writing lyrics like that. And all he has to say is, it is well with my soul." I mean, that's powerful, because I don't think I could do that. And I don't want to speak for y'all, but I'm pretty sure a lot of us would have struggle doing that, because that takes a lot. But second, we should also stay comfortable in the Lord, for He is there to comfort us. And that's a good example. This is a scripture to read when you need comfort, is Psalm 23. It's a very short psalm, but it's just talking about being comfortable in the Lord. But I did want to bring, when talking about Psalm 23, I did want to bring this up, because 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11 just passed a few weeks ago. And I remember seeing this transcript of the call, of a call that was made on United Flight 93, which is the flight that crashed into Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But on this flight, a guy named Todd Beamer, y'all may be familiar with the story, but he called the 911 operator. And the 911 operator took notes on this. So from their notes, they've kind of formed a unofficial transcript of the call. It's not officially what he said, and it's not exactly what he said. There's no way of knowing exactly what he said. But the general idea that the FBI got from her notes was this, and they kind of formed this rough draft of a transcript, is at the very end, after he calls his family and gets more information from the 911 operator about what's actually happening, Todd asks the 911 operator, "Will you do one last thing for me?" And she responds, "Yes." And he asks if she would pray with him. And then they pray the Lord's Prayer, in which we prayed earlier: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." But after they pray the Lord's Prayer, Tom also continues by praying Psalm 23. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow and death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And man, I mean, that's also very powerful. I mean, as I told the earlier service, I don't think the valley gets more shadowy or more full of death than on 9/11, a horrible, horrible day. And just the fact that what he has to say is that he will fear no evil, and for thou art with me. And also when he prayed the Lord's Prayer, "Deliver me from evil." And that's what he's saying in this moment. And then after they pray that, all he has left to say, and this is his last words, is, "God help me, Jesus help me. Are you guys ready? And then he says the final line that we may be familiar with: "Let's roll." And then after that, we're familiar with the story that they took the plane and took back control of the plane and saved hundreds of lives, whatever the target may was, whether it be the White House or the Capitol building. I mean, they saved a lot of lives that day, and I feel like that's really powerful. And I mean, that just really brings us back to the question of how can we best deal with the craziness and the sin of this world. And you know, we saw that we should not try to flirt with sin or try to fall into sin, but we should also not expect perfection, and instead be joyful in our salvation and not fear the evil. And we heard many examples from the hymn "It Is Well," and also Todd Beamer, about how we should best do this. And with that, I guess the praise team can come back up and sing one last worship song for us.
Sean, I told y'all were in for a treat. Will y'all stand with us?
Amen. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.